3:37.
Good morning. We have a little different lighting scheme here. This row of lights is ours, sort of a spotlight. It's interesting. It's kind of cool. I like the effect. So, happy Mother's Day, mothers, and those who have the mother heart. Blessings, blessings. Brother Mark and Sister Becky are away at their grandson's graduation. They send greetings. Harry is recovering, thankfully, from his hand surgery, and Cheryl has a cough, so both of them are at home. I think they're all on Zoom, so we're thankful for his continued recovery. Pray that continues. Any other greetings? No.
Yeah, we plan to be in Wharton next Sunday, so we would like to take the church's greetings.
Please take his greeting to Warren.
Warren.
Yep, yeah.
Greetings from Hungary.
Thank you. Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Hi, we did my in-laws.
Understood.
Ohio.
Yes. Greetings there, too. But good to have you back in between. I know you got in late last night, so you're tired, I'm sure.
John and Liam are sick, so Alexis and John.
Thank you, Alexis and John, as well.
This morning, our downstairs neighbor stopped us. And she let us know that her daughter has lymphoma cancer. She's devastated and crying. And
she's 40.
We told her that our church will pray. Her daughter's 40 years old.
Yeah.
And lived in the apartment until 2 years ago. And moved out. Mom moved in. So,
and she's angry with God.
Yeah.
Her daughter is
angry. But not the mom.
Yeah.
So we told her that, you know, our church is very intercessor type, right? Thank God. And so we said we're going to pray for her because she blames God for all the things she went through.
Yeah.
But not the mom, not the father, thank God. And they are more on the good Catholic side, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe, you know.
What's the daughter's name with Lucia?
Jennifer. If you keep feeding him, please pray for her. It's very serious because they told her last week and then slow and clever and wants to start the chemo next week.
So quick, yeah.
Very quickly, yeah. So it's probably very good then.
Yeah. Okay. We'll pray for Jennifer and the family. Any other prayer requests? We didn't discuss if we would have afternoon song service. I forgot to ask. We're quite small, so I think we'll forego it. Oh, what did you say?
I'm here.
Oh, they're here? You're here, so we'll have it for you. We'll discuss that a lot. Maybe a few songs if we want to sing a little. This Wednesday we have our Bible study. We're going to be concluding our multiple year journey through Acts. So we'll have the end of Acts 28 and overview, I think, we'll have time for. Next week, a group from Toronto is coming, and mostly young people, and they're going to be going to the city on Saturday, if anyone wants to join them on the city on Saturday. And then Sunday afternoon here at church, I think we'll hang out, play games, or maybe go for a hike if it's nice. So bring clothes if you want to visit. It's basically the Reinhardt family, Edmund and Bethany. Bethany from our church years ago. And so get together. Anything else to announce? Oh, our quarterly mission focus is on CLM, the mission there. Anything else? If not, pray for Brother Frank during the service, and let's sing two verses of hymn 163, the first two verses.
Good morning. There, that's better. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come together in your house of worship and to hear from your word and to fellowship with one another. And Lord, we ask that your presence would be here as it was already this morning, for if you we just want to praise you and thank you for all things, for we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was said before, today is Mother's Day. And looking in the Bible, there are many accounts of mothers in the Bible. Some were God-fearing and were good examples to those around them, and others were not so good, and some were bad, and some even evil, it seems. But it would be easy to judge people that we don't know and say what is written about them, but we don't want to judge. We want to learn from things. And today I would like to look at In Timothy, where Paul the Apostle talks about his, he mentions that the grandmother and mother of Timothy, and so I would like to read in 2 Timothy 2, and we'll start with the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, for whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I've read through verse 18. And in verse 2, Paul calls Timothy his son. Timothy is not the biological son of Paul, but he is talking in a spiritual sense that he was mentoring Timothy and about spreading the message of God and Jesus. And it looks like they had a close relationship there. And Paul writes about the unfeigned faith of his grandmother and mother. An unfeigned faith means a faith that is honest. It's genuine. It's without hypocrisy. It's really everything that that is said is true there. And we see he attributes that to his grandmother and his mother, that they had the faith. So he must have known or at least heard about Timothy's mother and grandmother. And I looked it up to see how many, what percentage of a population it was probably in that time that could read and write. And I found just estimates. It said something like 25% of the population could read. So only a quarter of the population could read at a level that they could understand things and it could be influenced upon them. And then it was about 10% that could read and write. Not all the people who could read could really construct sentences together as well as that, but the 10% is a fairly small number. That and so when he talks about Lois and Eunice being ones that were influencing Timothy as he's growing up, that they really were examples, and we don't know if they could read or write, but I think they were examples to Timothy, and they were examples in not only the things that they heard and so carried on and did in their lives. Those things would be examples of faith that that we were that they would that Timothy would have seen, and we have to remember also that there was no New Testament scripture when they were with Timothy, that the only scriptures that that were probably around were those of the Old Testament, and even Old Testament's writings were not available to regular to ordinary people. That was something that a scribe would have to, the way that they had copies of Old Testament writings was that a scribe would by hand write on a scroll a copy of that scripture, and it would take and sometimes a scripture or a scroll would only have what we have as a few books of the Bible, but it would take a long time to do that because everything was written by hand, and there was no thing as delete like we have on a computer or a spell check or anything like that. So you would have to be really careful of how that was copied over, and sometimes it would take months to complete to do one scroll, because it had to be meticulously checked to make sure that everything was correct. And also, many people couldn't afford to send their children to schools. So probably a lot of the teaching was left up to the mothers because they were in the household and they got a chance to teach their children and to talk to them about things like that. And so when Paul talks about Lois and Eunice, that they were teaching Paul and they were teaching, but the things that they were teaching, because this was when not was some of that time was maybe before Jesus was well known or before he started his ministry. So I don't know what they knew about that at the time, but we can see that they showed a faith. And they showed it through their actions and through their deeds and through the things that were done, or the preaching that they heard in the synagogue about the ways of God and how God has created the world and how God is in charge of everything and God would love us. And it also seems to me like in God's design, a mother has like a unique relationship with her child. The mother is the one who has the child growing inside her body for months. And I think that would be a way that the mother would be caring about the child even before it's born, because it's inside her, it's in her body, and during that time the mother, the body of the mother supplies the things needed for the child's physical needs to grow and to develop as it should. And it's interesting that the mother's breast milk contains all the nutrients that the infant needs in the first 6 months of life. Mother's milk contains carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins, minerals, and water, and it's something that the child can easily digest. So we see that God has designed these things that this way that inside the mother, this child is growing and developing. And the breast milk also contains natural organic factors that they enhance the children's immune system that is being developed. It's developing an immune system, and the milk helps in that way too, and protects that immune system, protects against infections and diseases and other factors is also that that it helps with digestion and absorbing nutrients. And also nutrients come from the blood of the mother. The mother's blood passes those on to the child while it's in the womb. And so as a new life is developing in the body of the mother, I think it brings a closeness to them and a caring that even before the child is born, that the mother has affecting and it's growing inside and I think the mother can see that this is really a miracle of God, how has designed all of this to work so that a new life is developing within the life of another person. And I think they see that as a miracle and can feel even the child when it moves as it gets closer to the end of the pregnancy, that the child can feel that. And I think both Lois and Eunice, I think they grew up in the Jewish faith, because that's what was with the Israelites and people that were learning that, and they believed in God, and they probably were taught about this coming Messiah that God would send to the earth, and that they probably talked to their children about the things that they heard, like the preaching that they may have heard in the synagogue and what they knew about God. And maybe they talked about their faith, knowing that this was the true God, this was the one who created everything, and talk about that God can be trusted. He is the one who knows everything, and he is the one who we look to for all kinds of things that we need in our lives. So I think those are the things that they were teaching Timothy as he was growing up. And then I think that when the mother has the child within them, I think it even develops a bond of between the mother and the child, and I think that bond gets even stronger as the child is born and the mother is taking care of the child, and it's something special. It's something too special to see when a mother is faithful and teaching a child. And there are a lot of scriptures that talk about ways that we should interact with children. One of them is in Proverbs 22: "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And we see that, especially if a child is taught things early and taught things consistently, that even later in life they will remember some of those things and want to act accordingly. And also in Ephesians 6 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." And so we can see even that Ten Commandments is part of that, that the part of our duty is to keep those Ten Commandments and to honor our father and mother. And that's probably one of the things that we're taught by this grandmother and this mother. And then also in Proverbs 1, 7 through 9, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." So this is also talking about teaching the children, that the father and mother should be teaching the children, not only teaching by words, but also by example, so that we can see that the things that the father and mother do, the children are observing those, and they will act accordingly in some of those ways. So it behooves everyone to have a child that will listen and a child that will see the wisdom of God in what they are being taught. And then also in Deuteronomy 6:4-9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And so this is also talking about the teaching that goes on, that it should be taught diligently to the children so that they could understand what it is to grow up and what it is to have a God that is one that created everything, that has created all of us, and we see that they should be taught those things so that they know who God is, knowing about God and knowing that He is the one who created us, and He is the one who sustains us. So that those are things that should be taught to the children, and we see that mothers in the Bible have done that throughout the years. And here we can see that Timothy's mother was an influence on him, as Paul mentioned. And I think it's wonderful to see that a mother has an influence on the child. And we've even seen in our church many mothers have had really good influence on their children and on other people, and I thank God for that, to see that example of the things of God being passed down from generation to generation. It's a wonderful thing to see. And we've seen many mothers that have had good influence on their children and on us, as we're watching them and observing them. And it's also important the way that the parents talk to the children, that it should be like in a positive way, that they want them to experience those wonderful things that they've experienced in their lives and pass it down to the next generation. And we see a lot of that is happening, and we can see how that is really beneficial to the children and beneficial to their developments, to how they look at life, and the ways that they will live their life will be formed by those things that they see and hear, and those things that they know are taught, that this is the proper way to do things, and also to know that what things are improper and shouldn't be done. So it's good to have a positive influence on the child. And we shouldn't do things to make a child feel like that they're being yelled at, or they're being criticized for what they're doing. And sometimes that can damage a relationship, that if they continue to see that love, even if it's for things that are being taught that may be difficult for them to hear, but to hear it in truth, and to hear it as something that shows love, that shows that they're being cared for, and that they would need that nurturing, and they would need that guidance in their lives to do that. And it's also important that a child would see loving relationships, that they would see the love between the father and the mother and the love for other people, so that they too can learn about that love and how it develops and how it's so important, because we can, if we have a good understanding of a love between father and mother, then it's a natural step to look at that as the love that God has for us, to know that God has a love and has a care for us that we can see and that we can feel. And I think that for people who don't believe in God, I think they'll have more of a difficult time in relating to other people, and if they don't know about God and don't know about that He's the one who has created me, and He has the one who has given me all those wonderful things in life, and to see, to thank Him for that, and to teach a child how to be thankful is another good way that it shows that it can look at God and develop a relationship with God, because it sees that relationship among people, and it sees that they are being taught this to a God, and showing the loving relationship would help the child to understand that and to try to have that kind of love in their hearts also. And it's also important to have them know that we aren't perfect. We make mistakes, and we can't pretend that everything is right in our lives, because they'll also observe things that didn't go exactly as planned, and some things that were wrong or weren't done in exactly the right way, and to admit that, to be honest that we make mistakes. I have trouble being honest to myself that I make mistakes, but I think it's something that needs to be done, and it also teaches love and caring when we do that, and it also gives an early understanding of forgiveness, that we should look at the mistakes that we make to be asked to be forgiven for those mistakes, so that when we go on as they grow up, they will look back on those experiences that they had as a child, and to see what kind of love was there and what kind of relationship was there. And I think There's many things that like Paul saw that in the faith that his grandmother and that his mother had, that it was passed down to Timothy, and he was able to see that love and to be able to get an understanding of who God was, and to get an understanding of who Jesus was, then, that he was the promised Messiah, and he was the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament that he should come, and that he should be the one who would pay the penalty for my sin. So that's all partly it's developed in the child in an early age, and then as the child grows, it comes to much of a more mature level, and we can see having that relationship with children that it's important for them to really want to absorb these things and learn them. Like yesterday, we were at Chris's cousin's house, and And she bought some books there, and one is about animals, different animals. It's these children's books, but it's talking about animals, and the other one's talking about colors and the things, and we read that to especially to the young girl. She's a little bit older. The boy is less than a year old, but then she would come and she would bring that book and say, "Can we read this again?" And I think that's a wonderful thing, that to read it again and to see the child come and want to absorb those things and want to express those things, how the words are said and how everything goes. To me, it was a wonderful thing for me to see a child come up and say, "Can we do this again?" But that's part of training a child in the way to go, and it's part of the way that things are developed within the children, so that they know these things these things will help them out, and maybe it's just curiosity for them or fun, but I think it's a way that we learn, and it's a way that we pass on those experiences. And as children grow, they also see how we handle situations, how we handle difficulties, or how we handle things that go well, and to be thankful for those things. And how to be thankful for God, to look at those things and say that God is the one who has provided this for us. As we see how God has provided for a baby inside the womb, that he has those physical things that the baby need, he has provided that to happen, that God will also provide for us in other ways. And that is taught to a child, and that's it's a wonderful thing to see a child grow and to see them develop, and sometimes it gets more difficult in some stages of life, and sometimes children have like a rebellious stage, but if they can be shown love through those times, even that is a wonderful thing. Also, that's something that we should be trying to get the best way of doing those things. I was fortunate to have a Sunday school also in church, there were teachers there that were able to teach the Word of God from youth up, and to have classes in Bible class and in studies as I mature, that I learn more and more things of how they are in my life, and I think that's a great thing. And right now we only have like two children, and maybe three at one time if Charlie comes. But I think it's important to keep that going, and to have those lessons taught to the children in ways that they can understand, in ways that they can know how to emulate and know how to what it means, and even if they're simple things and I'm thankful to God for that, and thankful for the way he has given to us to teach others, to teach others from a young age, and to go through those development stages, and to see what God has provided. And I'm thankful that I've seen mothers do that to their children, and I'm thankful we have mothers and grandmothers or great grandmothers, and to see that happening. I think it's healthy to see those happen, and to keep that going. So I just want to thank the mothers who have been faithful in spreading the word of God to their children and to bring their children even to church, maybe even times when they don't want to go. That it's important to keep that consistency there and to have that to show how important those things are and how important it is to be diligent in that. And like the Timothy's mother and grandmother seemed to be diligent in doing that and were an influence on the children, and we thank God for that, because Timothy also became a leader of a church there, so that he, even those things that he remembers in growing up, that are things that sometimes even get more difficult in when you're dealing with adults than with children. But I think it was a way that Timothy was taught, and the Apostle Paul like took him under his wing and showed him the way to go and showed him how to do some of these things. And so I'm thankful to God that we have a church that has mothers that have taught their children in the ways of God. May the Lord bless His word.
It's Katie's birthday today, it's Luke's birthday in 2 days, it's Peter's birthday tomorrow, so, and Luke's graduation too and tomorrow, so a lot of things to celebrate, but the birthdays is related to the whole idea of motherhood. It's crazy to think that what all of us have in common is that we all lived within our mothers for 9 months. That's just a weird thing to say, a weird thing to think. It's just amazing the way God did this. But it's a commonality that we all have. We all lived within our mothers for 9 months. And the connection was we were one with our mothers. And then when we were born, and then we kind of separated ourselves, and hopefully we maintained a good relationship with our mothers, and our mothers, as we heard this morning, raised us as Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, did. So that connection stayed firm, but it's never as connected as when you're living within. God wants that connection to be as it was with our mothers. He wants a connection with us to be that same way. That He lives within us. The miracle is that He can live within us because of what Jesus has done. And that we can be really at one with Him. We should be at one with our brother and sister, but the unity that we should have, the connection with God the Father, should be perfect through Jesus Christ and what He has done. We thank God for the blessing of His message this morning. And we also, I was neglecting my announcement to say, welcome to Jackson for being here from Mansfield. You didn't give us greetings either, did you?
No, I didn't. Greetings from Mansfield.
There you go. Greetings from Mansfield, too. So thank you for being here, and we'll ask you to close in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we're so thankful that You still give us this opportunity in this country to talk about You in public, and that we don't have to be ashamed of our faith. We thank You so much for this congregation, Lord. Thank You so much that they're a light on a hill and an example to this world and a world that so badly needs it. We thank You for the reminder this morning of David and his sin. We pray that You would show us through Your Holy Spirit where we can be better, and when we do sin, that You want us to repent and to be sorry and to come to You with a broken heart. We thank You for the message this afternoon as well. We thank You so much for our mothers and the sacrifice that they have made for us. We thank You for blessing them and being with them. And we know that it's not a coincidence, Lord, the complex process of having a child and having a child in You for 9 months. We thank You so much that You're so detailed and love us so much and so intentional in the ways that You've created us, Lord. We pray that we would never forget those things. We thank You also, Lord, for the food that has been prepared. We pray that it would be a blessing, and that You would bless our conversations and the rest of the day. Thank You in all these things, Lord. Amen.